Hi, I'm Caroline Amos.
And I'm Raymond McAnally.
And we are
fatigued.
So we're recording now. Do you want to tell us what you just were doing?
I got out of work early, and so I promptly had about 2 shots and 5 beers.
I'm so proud of you.
Well,
this is our drunk history episode, and by history, we're talking about the history of the last year. So.
Could you fucking imagine a drunk history of COVID-19 in 2020?
I think we're going to need a lot of it, but I would worry that people would die of alcohol poisoning halfway through.
Definitely explicit, for sure.
Yeah.
I guess the question is your show, like, am I good to, can I say?
Oh yeah. You can say, yeah, we're explicit.
Thank Be yourself. Christ. Be your drunken, hairy self.
All right. Well, let me take my pants off. Okay.
So, Lewis is another old friend of mine. Hi, Lewis.
Hi.
And the reason we wanted to talk to you today is because you participated in the vaccine trials.
A vaccine. Yeah, I participated in the Pfizer RNA vaccine trial. Yeah.
Incredible. So, you are one of our first people we've spoken to who's been vaccinated. And I don't want to give the ending away just yet, but tell us a little bit more about why. What made you want to jump into doing that?
Okay. So 2020, this is actually going to be a mildly personal thing. So 2020, yeah. 2020 for my family kind of started in mid-November. And the patriarch of my family, if you will, my uncle, passed away. And that sucked. It was terrible.
I'm so sorry. No,
trust me, this story is going to be filled with lots of that. So I'm good. and it sucked and it was terrible. And then about a month later, his older brother passed and that sucked. And so I went, but it was like a few weeks before we could do anything. And so it was about March that we were able to do anything.
March of 2020.
And so I flew home to Arkansas from Florida, and we did a service. And then that night, I don't know, I guess, the Saturday before, Saturday or Sunday before St. Paddy's Day, we did sort of a wake, like me and my cousins did sort of a wake in downtown Little Rock. And that felt weird. Because, like, we knew this thing was coming and the bars were slammed in central Arkansas. Like, I'll never forget, like, being in a very, very crowded bathroom at, like, 2 a.m, super wasted drunk in central Arkansas.
Around, like, St. Patrick's Day, a.k.a.
on COVID's Eve. Yeah, like,
COVID's Eve.
Like, it was a, like, looking back, I'm like, like then it was just like, all right, well, I guess, yeah, I'll just do this and wash my hands and go home. And that was back when, like, I was looking at people wearing masks and going, idiot. Because back then you were told not to wear a mask. And now here we are with them strapped to our faces like feed bags. And
yeah,
it sucks. So, that all led into, obviously, I come home, we're shut down, which I work at a theme park, and that meant a lot because we were shut down, and that was just an unheard of thing, and we were going to be shut down for 2 weeks, and I was like, okay, we're going to be shut down for 2 weeks. Oh, 3 weeks. Okay, cool. Oh, indefinitely. And after about 3 weeks of that, my father passed away. And I've had
from,
a year
from COVID,
unconfirmed.
Okay.
Unconfirmed. He was, so he had Parkinson's and he was in, a home situation, for the weekend for my mom to go to her brother's funeral. He never came home because it wasn't safe. And so he was in the home. Oh yeah.
My God.
It's been a year. So again, I'm good. These are all things that have happened, and here we are.
Yeah.
So that on top of my incredibly great girlfriend, which Caroline just got to meet.
She's so rad.
She's pretty dope. She and I started donating platelets because hospitals needed them a lot, mm-hmm. really bad. And I'm O negative. So I'm a universal donor. It was very helpful. And I was just like, yes, whatever.
Oh, congratulations, little blood humble brag there.
MBD.
I'm O negative. I'm a universal donor.
MBD. And so, and it was something to do. I mean, fuck, we were stuck at home for weeks. And it was just like, oh, it's been a week. Time to go stick a needle in my arm for 2 hours and see anybody else in the world. This is great. And that was terrifying, of course, because it was still the early stages of everything. And then we got wind of the trials coming to Central Florida.
The vaccine trials.
Uh-huh. Yep. And we didn't know who it was for, like which company it was going to be for. But we knew that Florida was getting nailed with it because, and I don't want to give any spoilers away, Floridians are fucking idiots.
Never heard that. I've never heard that. Nobody ever talks negatively about Florida.
Raymond, is that a particular shout out at me? Because every episode I somehow mention how much I fucking hate Florida.
I mean, maybe I've heard you talk about it. Maybe there's entire Instagrams and Facebook pages called Florida Man where news articles that come out daily say something crazy like dude eats someone else's face off.
Listen, if bath salts weren't meant to be smoked, then I don't know. Anyway, so she finds out and reads an article about a trial coming to Central Florida. And I was like, yeah, let's go. And she and my mom actually expressed a lot of concern. She's like, well, yeah, but you don't know what it's going to do. And I was like, yeah, and we aren't going to have a fix to this until people throw themselves at the wall. Like, it's that, like, there's no end in sight because nobody's going to stay home. Like, get in there. Shove what, 8 needles? Yeah, go ahead. Shove them in my arm. Let's figure this fuck out. No, it was one.
Hey, man, needles make me faint. So you said 8 needles, and I was about to be discovered by my roommate 24 hours later, slumped in the middle of my closet.
At lunch, too. They actually throw them at you like you're a dartboard.
All right, guys. I'm reeling us back in.
Okay.
I had a detail question right off the bat. So about the study that you signed up for, how was it set up? Did you know you were part of the placebo group or part of the? Well, of course you didn't. That would be stupid, wouldn't it?
Stupid question, Raymond.
For answering your own question, Raymond.
So it was presented as an online, like, real fast survey. Like, hey, are you over? Are you 18? Are you a healthy adult? Are you, just very generic, like any Facebook, clickbait for Hims medications, like that kind of stuff. And so I was like, yep, beep bop boop. And it turns out that the company that was going to run the trial in Central Florida is like just in downtown Orlando, and it's their own parking, like, so it's very, very convenient. Like, first off,
I love that parking was a factor.
Well, listen, if you've been to downtown Orlando,
I have. It is a factor there.
It's kind of like driving through Dallas or, getting paper cuts between your toes. It's like, oh, history of the world. Parking.
Dallas. Every time I drive in Dallas, I'm like, this is what a concrete bowl of spaghetti looks like.
100%. 100%.
The interstates make no sense.
100%. If you've ever wanted to drink bleach after swallowing a razor blade, that's what driving through Dallas is like. So parking is very similar in Orlando. So they've got
these are facts, people. We're dropping facts.
This is some knowledge that if you haven't been around the country, welcome. Now, so downtown Orlando, I got my parking, and I found out after, like, they did like a quick interview. I get in there, I do my interview, and the interview was like, do you use any drugs recreationally? If you're a woman, they asked if you were pregnant. Regardless of what your answer was, they gave you a pregnancy test because they wanted to make sure one way or the other. So a lot of people found out they were pregnant during this trial.
Really?
I mean, it makes sense because, like, you don't want to give a pregnant woman a test drug.
Well, it also makes sense because you've been locked inside, like, for months. Like, what else are you going
to
do?
Everybody else is fucking. Everybody in the world got a taste of what it's like to live in a small southern town.
It also it also goes back to, that is very true. It also goes back to what we talked about with Jamie, and we interviewed a guy who was a chemist and a patent lawyer, and he talked a bit about why women, especially pregnant women, the female body can chemically be such a wild card and throw off, add more variables than you can handle for a study. So I can imagine that being an issue.
Absolutely.
Another thing I'd like to throw in there is that it's also the reason why women's bodies have not been nearly as researched to the point that they should be, because there's so much like mysticism around the woman's, the female anatomy that frankly should have been researched, but it's a little, there are so many factors, and it's the kind of thing where I hope that we can clear these up so we can be participating in more vaccine trials for future pandemics.
Now, if you've ever watched a congressional hearing on women's reproductive rights, then you know the need for all sorts of biological education.
Are you telling me? Now, hold on. I want to make sure I get this right. You're telling me that people who regulate science with no background in science are telling you that a woman's body... Okay, this is a whole can of worms that we're just not...
has a way of shutting all that down.
I don't understand. I don't understand the science here.
Oh, believe me, neither do I.
All right, well, let's burn you at the stake because you're clearly a witch.
How dare I have an opinion and listen to science?
So it sounds like you had some interaction with other people in the study?
Loosely. So I did the questions and all that good stuff. And my girlfriend was also, she also did the study as well. And she was about a week ahead of me. Other than that, I honestly didn't know of anybody else doing it. I mean, there was clearly thousands of people.
Do you know how many people that were a part of the study?
I don't without looking at what the figures they reported to the CDC. But if you look at, if you watch on Netflix, there was an excellent documentary that we watched that came out after we got injected. It was called Coronavirus Explained. It was the part of the Explained series.
Oh, yeah.
So there's three episodes, and they were brilliant. The first episode was about, and it was terrifying and put me in a bit of a state, but the first episode was about what it is and how it was spreading, and that was just very nerve-wracking and terrifying. The second episode was about, here's what we're doing to combat it. And it talked about Pfizer. It talked about Moderna. It talked about all of these other companies that we've been hearing in the news lately about how and why specifically they have a leg up and why this trial has been so fast. It hasn't been so fast. If you go and look at all of their research, what it is that this was based on a SARS-2 virus that happened a few years ago that bled itself out, thank God. However, it looked so similar to COVID-19 and the coronavirus that this was a jump start. It had the same spikes. It had similar proteins and other things like that. So they had the jump start. It matched so well that the CDC and the FDA looked at it like, oh, yeah. So you're done with phase one, which usually takes like 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. Move forward into phase two. So they jumped right in on the phase two. And it was Pfizer, Moderna, a German company. There was
Johnson & Johnson
was one of them. There was a German company. And there was a couple of others that were already like on the jump on this. And what I appreciated about the interview, now granted, this was an interview that they knew that was going to be on Netflix, yada, yada, yada. But the people that were representing these companies on those interviews were just like, yeah, we don't care who's first. Let's just fucking get there.
Well, and I've heard that we talked about that a little bit with Dr. Jen in her episode and then Jamie and his, about the fact that we actually had laboratories around the world sharing information because they were all working together, which normally doesn't happen.
Does not happen because it's about that money.
Yep, it's about competition for who's gonna get the patent, who's gonna get to put it out, all that stuff. And so when those barriers got broken down, I think Jen even brought it up, like, hooray for science. We got to see what it looks like when all these minds can get together, share information. I mean, we see it too. Like, my wife and I have been huge into true crime documentaries. Absolutely. And stuff.
Oh
lately
my God. Because just the communication with who is the one on California, the what killer, the Night Stalker.
The Night Stalker, yeah, great example,
that,
right?
That communication between departments was groundbreaking for that case.
Yeah, and that case was able to go on and on and on. He was able to keep killing because these departments wouldn't talk
to each other. And then they started talking to each other.
I got to jump on your level, you guys. Like,
you
I
should totally watch more true crime, because right now the world's just really too sunny. We're just seeing too much positivity in the air, and we need to tamp it down.
Somebody did not look at the news for the past 2.5 months at minimum.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we cut cable. I'm just kidding.
Girl, I didn't have to cut cable. Facebook was like, hey, bitch.
Oh, man. Everywhere I turn, I need to just – I tried to go into the woods and get away from it all, and I caught COVID.
Did you really?
Yeah, I got COVID in Yosemite.
Oh, Raymond, no.
Which I hate saying that because it sounds like a horrible, like, slam to the
go
National
to
Park
Yosemite. You'll catch COVID.
Yeah. Well, and Lewis, I hate to break it to you, but I caught COVID in Florida.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're not. Oh, shock. Somebody I know got COVID in Florida. Fuck. No, when you said that, I was like, no, Caroline, so we know. How do I help the Caroline? And then I was like, everything that I could do for Caroline would probably make her sicker. Because big giant Lewis is just like, let me hold you. Nope, can't do that. All right, well, I'll just give you a hug. Nope, nope. None
yeah,
of that.
Alcohol kills germs. Surely, I mean, alcohol could help.
If I breathe hard enough on you after drinking, surely that'll. Oh,
that has a cleansing effect.
I'll raise you one, man. I'll just go and have drinks with you, and that should eradicate the virus, certainly.
Listen, here are the things that cures a lot of things. Is having a drink with Lewis. Yes. Pretty top-notch. I don't want to
really
remember.
Is.
But
I smell a fundraiser coming on.
Get drinks with Lewis. You too can be miserably hungover.
All right. Reeling us back in.
So I did. So I started the trial. I got through the interview phase, and that was cool. And then I didn't hear anything for a little bit. And then they're like, hey, you're in. Let's do this. And I was like, cool. So they bring me in for.
Can you give us, before we continue, what time of year was this?
This was late June that I
late
started
June,
the process. So early, I want to say before the 4th. Don't quote me. I feel like it was before that. I feel like this was all before that, but I don't remember. Because time has no meaning when you're in quarantine, right? I want to say no. It was probably about early June, and so like early July, I got my first injection, and so they bring me in. I went through with a bunch of people that I had never met or seen, and it was all varying. There was no evens of male, female, black, white, whomever. Like it was across the spectrum. And just after our group, they kind of faded in another group that was behind us. And it was just a steady rotation through the day, apparently. Mm-hmm. So they.
And you said your girlfriend had done it
a week prior.
Previous. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I went in and I went through, and that's when I found out that was the Pfizer trial. Because there was a lot of speculation about if it was going to be the Pfizer, Moderna, or Oxford trials. In Florida. So in Florida, it was the, as far as I remember, the Pfizer and the Oxford trials. The Pfizer trials were what we were doing, and they had this huge packet, which I still have. It was probably about 39 pages or something like that. And it was the NDA. Well, it wasn't an NDA, thank God, because otherwise I shouldn't be talking to you.
You would be breaking that
so
super hard.
Sued. No, it was just like, hey.
There'll be a knock on the door in a few minutes.
Right. Well, this is actually the third podcast that I've talked about this on.
Oh, wow. Oh, so we're small potatoes.
Not at all. This is actually the most in-depth I've gotten to go with it.
Because, we're late to the scoop.
No, because you guys are actually going to get the full scoop. This was before I found out how it all ended up for me.
See, Raymond, I knew I had a good plug.
it was the whole thing was like, hey, if things happen, if yada, 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 you can't sue Pfizer because we're trying to save the world. And I was just like, well, you produced the blue pill that makes erections last forever. Sure. Surely you're going to save the world from other things. Let's go. Here we go. So sign that. They did a quick blood test where they just pulled out like 2 vials of blood and to get like their base for everybody. Oh, girl, this story is about pulling blood because this ain't no swabbing your nose only. Nah. We're pulling blood.
Oh, God, for those of you listening at home.
Seriously, she's turning a few shades of something.
I'm going to, if you hear a thud, I've just slumped to the bottom of my closet that doubles as a voiceover booth, and don't worry about me.
Yeah, think about it. Just picture fake blood or picture.
So I got them some ketchup.
Ketchup, I can handle. Okay. I can handle ketchup. Okay,
so they had some French fries. I brought them some ketchup, at least 2 packets, and they had that. And so then I got. I gave them the 2 packets of ketchup. Then I got my injection, and then I had to wait like 30 minutes to just make sure I didn't have any adverse effects, whether it was salt water or a vaccine. So this was a double blind study.
So when you're getting the placebo is salt water.
Yeah. Almost every placebo is either a sugar pill or a salt water shot. Yeah.
I did not know that before this. That's kind of wild.
Because it's the only thing, it's the only, I don't know the proper neutral term, but neutral thing you can inject.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Wow. So I was like, cool. And then I went home. And that was kind of like, that was it. Actually, I didn't even go home. I went straight to work, like after I got my first injection.
Did you have any side effects?
So without knowing whether or not I had anything, I did not feel anything. They had us after your first injection, they have an app that they want you to just like record and do like a little journal. You record your temperature, the injection site, like size, excuse me. They have you record, you know, if you're having any COVID symptoms, if you're having diarrhea, vomiting, nausea, headaches, fever, you know, any of those things.
Yeah.
The standard.
Yeah, the pretty much the standard, but also specific COVID feelings.
Those lists always make me think of there was an ad for a medication that listed like 30 potential side effects.
Yeah. And it's like,
and it was something like, I remember one of them truly being anal leakage
for depression medication to get you back. No,
but
there.
This medication was simply to thicken your eyelashes. And I thought, what a price to pay.
Whoa.
For thicker eyelashes.
There you are, just batting your eyes, slapping them in the face, literally with your eyelashes, and shitting your brains out. That's glory.
You better have beautiful eyelashes.
You better be going after a scat man. That's what you're doing. Jesus. All right.
Oh man.
Oh my God. Oh, Lewis, I missed you so much.
This is
so you have your list of things. You have an app.
So they had this app, and I still use it to this day because the trial isn't over for another year.
Come wow. June. Do you fill it out every day?
No. So you fill it out every day for the first injection, and then it's every week after that until your second injection, to which I go back in. They shoot me up, and then I fill it out every day for a week. And then it's every week after that. So first injection, fill it out every week. Second injection, fill it out every day. And then every week. I felt nothing. I had like one day where I was just like, you know, like just you're having like, a poopy day.
What is that ennui? Like,
yeah,
what
like it was true ennui. Like I just didn't want to. Like I left work early. Like I went to work still that day, but I was just like, nah, Nah, bruh. I'm
general malaise, as it were.
If you will. If you will. And fortunately, one of the theme parks down here in Florida, they are my employer, and they took extremely great care of us. Yeah, I wasn't mad about that. Some of the other theme parks did not do so great as far as that's concerned. But this one took very good care of myself and my crew, more specifically. My crew never stopped working. Ever.
Throughout the entire pandemic? The entire thing.
What, because you had to maintain equipment and things like that?
Because, how do I say this without revealing? Because what we were working on is our biggest draw in the fall, which is when everything was supposed to go back to normal.
Got it. So you were prepping ahead, thinking
we kept pushing, and the measures that they went for people that did have to work or had to work. Nobody had to work. Like they were like upfront, they were very, very upfront about like, if you don't feel safe, you don't come in. If you're unnecessary, you don't come in. You're paid, stay home. And everybody got, everybody in this theme park got paid their average.
Wow. That's remarkable.
Yeah. It was towards the end, like probably the last 2 or 3 weeks of shutdown. And I'm putting that in quotations because Florida sucks and opened up way too early.
I know.
That they were like, hey, we have to reduce you down to like 80%. And I was like, okay, I have a job. Right. Do whatever you need to do. Like I was still working from home, keeping up with all of our budgets and making sure that our guys were getting paid. And then I was also checking in on our guys and making sure that they felt okay and that they felt safe and that they felt healthy and that they felt like their families were okay. Like I was checking in on them because that's what the company asked me to do. I mean, also I was checking on my guys because I love my crew 100%.
Sure.
My crew is the hardest working crew in show business. There's nothing else you can change my mind. So all of that, I talked myself into my own rambling pit. I don't even know where I was.
That's okay. I can bring us back. So you got the second shot.
Yep.
And then you had this app and you filled it out.
Yep.
And well, what was the distance between first and second shot?
About 3 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, so kind of what we're experiencing now in the news
is 21 days. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yep. They were already doing that sort of protocol then.
Yep, absolutely. So I felt nothing. And my girlfriend, who was a week ahead of me, she, the first injection, she had a couple of days where she was just like, I didn't feel great. Like she was fine, but she just didn't feel particularly 100%. And she had a slight fever, like nothing major, but she had a slight fever. Like she was still allowed to work had she been working at the time. Because it was under what we were regulating for temperature right now, but nothing extreme. And then the second injection, I remember she got the injection and then the next day it was like, she got hit by a bus for the day. She got hit real hard with it. And then like by the next day she was like, okay, I'm good. So
instead of being hit by a bus for weeks on end,
get
COVID.
Yeah, I'd
swap those for I'd swap a day of bus hitting versus like months of bus hitting every day.
Absolutely.
Any day.
Absolutely.
So, but it might be good to remind our audience right now, like right now, what you're describing for you and your girlfriend, you don't know whether or not received the placebo or.
Now, obviously, she's feeling side effects. So it was like, okay, she probably got it. And so in my mind.
Or did you wonder, was there ever any wonder that. Like, did one of you get it while going?
Absolutely. So I constantly was like, I probably didn't get it. I probably didn't get it. Or I always made the joke like, or my body is just that of a god and I'm fine. Like everything's fine. No, like there was like, we would constantly find ourselves having these conversations just like this, where it's just like, well, yeah, but also the placebo effect, but also this, but also that. And we would just go back and forth and we would talk ourselves into circles. And it's just like, that's the whole point. We don't fucking know, you know?
Well, and that's actually what it feels like to even get a positive test.
Like, yeah.
You have a negative test after you've been positive. Cause you're like, well, was that a false positive? Should I get retested? What's going on?
At this point I have now been tested. Hold up. What was my final count? I think it was 14 times.
Oh, wow. So were they testing you or was work testing?
So they tested me twice.
Okay.
They being vaccine trial.
Yeah, the vaccine trial, which was run by CNS. God, I couldn't tell you what CNS even stands for anymore. But CNS in Central Orlando. Cool. They were the ones running the test. So they tested me a couple of times. I got tested in Florida so many times, not just out of curiosity, but also because I had, like, I also do a podcast, and one of our members had a scare. A handful of people at work, once I started going back to work, they had a scare. Mm-hmm. So I went and got a test.
Yeah, you had some exposures.
Oh boy, howdy, have I had some exposures.
Yeah, he lives in Florida. Like, the whole state is an exposure.
At least two people that I was directly exposed to have died.
Oh,
from COVID.
I'm so sorry.
But this is what we have. This is it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, people often think I'm lying. Well, they did before. Now I think more and more people are understanding.
I have a feeling that a lot of people are starting to come to their senses.
But even what, by this summer, by the time I got COVID, I knew over 60 people who'd had it. And because I've lived and had friends all over the country, and especially any of us who know people in New York, like, so many of those original ones were in New York. And then I knew, sadly, 10 families who had lost someone. Now all that has almost doubled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just my personal, like, that's just people I know personally.
Yeah. That's insane. Like, what, we're about to hit 500,000? We're about to hit 500,000 people in America.
Yeah, just this country.
Just dead. Because some orange twat face decided to be like, it's probably fine. What a piece of shit. I hope he gets fucking arrested and thrown in jail. But that's not the point of this conversation.
No, but Lewis, I'm happy to talk about that with you anytime.
Girl.
It's certainly adjacent.
It's insurgently. Oh, sorry.
No, but it also keeps, it's the funny thing that, like, we'll talk with people, and we're not trying to talk to an echo chamber, but there does seem to be a pretty stark divide between those who wear the masks and those who don't, and their political beliefs. You cannot talk about the pandemic without mentioning Cheeto Man's effect on it. I love talking about this, but we do have to, we are talking about vaccine trials. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to grab my little lasso.
Oh, okay, and
I'm
going to,
I'm pulling you back in.
Fair enough. Sorry. I go on my liberal trites.
I just love you very much, man.
But so we go on, and we kept checking in, and that was kind of it. I did a third going into the office. And they pulled some, I brought them some ketchup packets, and they were very grateful because they had some French fries that were very dry. So there we are. I actually was very dehydrated, so I had to chug some water and hang out for a little bit before they could actually take my ketchup, because otherwise it was just like shoving needles in my arm that I could not.
A lot of people don't realize that if you go in dehydrated,
you're they will fucked. Not take your
ketchup. Yeah. Dehydrated ketchup.
It's no good. That's
hard to get out of. It's hard to get out of the package.
Nobody likes tomato salt. And this is a weird analogy that's working way too well, actually.
Somebody's going to skip ahead and only hear this part and be like, what in the hell?
Ketchup means blood.
That boy was talking shit about the Republican great. Oh, he's talking about tomato salt now. I don't know what's happening. Bless. So,
well, we know he voted for John Kerry because his wife owns all the ketchup.
Well, joke's on them. I did vote for John Kerry. But anyway, that was the last time that I went in. And so ever since then, they'll call once a month to just be like, hey, are you filling out your app? Are you, how you feeling? Are you dead? Like, you know, just check-ins. Yeah. And
so you're getting how you doing calls
from Pfizer, from CNS, who is representing Pfizer in this instance. Which, like, everybody in the office for CNS, like, everybody that was there, like, that I saw face to face, excellent human beings. Like, they were doing 12 or 14, like, they were working nonstop, because they weren't just doing their normal studies. This company also does ADHD and ADD studies. They do depression studies. They do migraine studies. They do cancer studies. They do a ton of studies, and they didn't stop their normal work. They just put this to the front of the line.
That's incredible.
And they were, I mean, every time I went in, everybody, like, if you caught them not talking to you, they were just kind of sitting there, like, taking a minute. But, like, it, when they were interacting with you, like, I never felt uneasy about what I was doing.
Wow.
Not once. And the doctor that was running the trial, first off, this man is my spirit animal. He's wearing scrubs and snakeskin rattle boots. And,
really?
Oh, yeah. And he was like, yeah, I figure by June we'll be all cleared up of this bullshit. We can go on because I got a cruise to get to. They got my refund coming to me, and I'm going to go on that cruise. And I was like, all right, Dr. Deaver, we're going. Let's do this shit. Fucking shoot me up, brah. Love that man. Love him. And I do feel like it's important to state at this point that, yes, I was compensated for all of this trial.
Nice.
I got paid $120 each time I went into the office and $5 every time I touched the app.
Wow.
And I'm not mad about that. Like it was a surprise to me. Like I went in and they told me about that and I was like, I do like American dollar bills.
I can't think of a reason why in your position in the study why that would be a problem. Have you had people express that they think that you shouldn't be compensated?
A lot of people, when I started the trial and I was very, Caroline is a Facebook friend of mine. So she can speak to this. I was very open about like, hey, I'm doing this. And a lot of people were like, oh, well, you're only in it for the money. And I was like,
yeah, cause that's a windfall of money that you're talking about there.
Okay. Like even if I was just in it for the money, you're welcome. Like,
yeah, right.
Like, sorry that you and little Johnny have been cooped up in the house for 5 months. I want to get him out for you. Like,
Raymond, I don't know that I like properly prepared you to meet Lewis. Like,
I'm a whole lot.
Lewis and I have met before under different names and different phrases.
Oh, I was like, you did.
I totally get it.
Yeah. No worries. Oh, I just. It makes me feel good to be like, quote, in a room, quote, with you guys. Like, I'm excited to all be in a bar together someday together. It's going to be a good time.
Oh, no, my arm, it's twisted. I love bars. I'm from Florida. That's all we do is go to bars.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we can tell.
You're welcome. If anything, I put this vaccine through the trial. That being said, last week or the week before, I got the call and they were like, hey, Pfizer got the okay to unblind the test. And I was like, okay. And they're like, so would you like to know if you were vaccinated or placeboed? Now for science, I should have said no and let the trial continue. Like anybody who's placeboed, I hope that they continue the trial just so that they continue that base. Comma, however, I'm impatient. Like hard. And so I was like, nah, girl, tell me. And she was like, okay. So like, she didn't even know. The only person that knew whether or not I was receiving the placebo or the actual vaccination was the woman who gave me both shots. And it was the same woman. She was the only woman in that entire office building that knew who was getting a vaccine and who wasn't. She was literally the person that was just like picking up this packet.
She gave you both shots.
Yes. She gave me both shots. It was the exact same lady.
Quick question before we go on with that answer. Was it possible for somebody to get one placebo and one real?
So I don't 100% know the answer to that question. I've heard both that you get the shot because Pfizer is a double shot. It's an injection and then the booster. And then I've also heard that with those tests, it was get the shot, maybe. And then get the shot, maybe. So I honestly don't know.
Okay.
I literally for anybody who's a big old nerd and plays D&D, I was the Goliath barbarian that just went straight into this. I was just like, yeah, let's go, shoot me up, here we go. I just was like, yeah, I'm a big old meat shield, fucking do it, let's figure this the fuck out. My girlfriend was the one who was just like, just look it up and okay, that's the variables. Okay, cool. And then we do this. That's what's going to happen. Okay. All right. And science. Cool. And then she went and did it. I just kind of followed suit.
So she was the wizard and you were the
100%.
Yeah.
That's kind of our life story.
That sounds like a good partnership, actually.
Yeah, we hang out. We do things.
Hang on, though. Lewis.
Hold the phone.
Were you vaccinated?
So I found out. I got the call. I was, in fact, vaccinated the entire time.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, plus, I would want to know that. Like, especially now, you need to know.
And that's why I let
whether or not you need to be in line to get another vaccination.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and that was the thing. They were not going to. And I've heard also that it is different. So there's a great podcast, if you guys don't know about it and you're into science and whatnot. I cannot stress enough. Look up a show called Ologies with. Oh, God. Hey, what's Ologies? What's her name? Allie Ward. Sorry, I don't know why I yelled at you guys. Allie Ward, she was, if you guys watched 100 Humans on Netflix.
Also check out
this. Yeah.
She was the redhead.
Oh, okay.
So she has a podcast called Ologies, where she literally interviews anybody with the title Ologist. So like a cosmologist, a cosmetologist, a volcanologist, which is the study of volcanoes, or
proctologist.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Astrologist.
Yes. Literally anything with that at the end of their title.
I heard proctologist and I thought astrologist.
I heard astrologist. And I was like, that works out.
I just wanted you guys to hear my joke.
Well, the reason why.
Thanks for repeating it. That always makes jokes so much better.
Every good joke deserves repeating, 100%. That's why I tell mine three times.
Oh, my God. Continue.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, because of that podcast, she kept up with COVID. Like, she sidetracked all of her interviews to keep up with people that were in. All of these studies and talking with scientists that were working on these studies and stuff like that to get real information and not that bullshit that, you know, our last regime was spouting out to us. She had an excellent interview with somebody who is a thanatologist, who is somebody who studies death and the study of death, basically. And if it weren't for that episode, I would not be so what a lot of people have told me appears to be very laissez-faire about these terrible passings that I've had in my life over the past few months. It was one of the most calming podcast episodes of anything I've ever listened to in my entire life, because it made me realize that, like, we're just big old meat bags that have really cool people trapped inside of them. And that they're okay. And so, like, this whole process of dealing with a pandemic and this COVID business has been awful. And so many brilliant and amazing and life-changing people are gone.
Mm-hmm.
But they're okay. And it's okay. And we're going to be okay, because stupid isn't in charge anymore. And it's going to be okay.
I really love the way that you just put that. We're just a bunch of meat bags with good people trapped inside them.
I love how different all these interviews feel, because I don't know if the audience is even curious about it, but we usually know why, you know, what would be most engaging and unique in comparison to other people we've interviewed about the person's story. So, for instance, this one, we knew that you had been the first person we talked to who had participated in a vaccine trial, that sort of thing. A lot of people have no encounters with anybody who's done that. Now, because of you, I know two, actually, which is crazy.
That's awesome.
But, like, we don't plan out these conversations. We don't censor it. We let the person, you know, talk about what they want to talk about. It does not surprise me, given where we are, where we've been throughout the last year, that you kind of can't talk about this stuff without mentioning politics.
Without mentioning politics, because it became a political issue. Public safety became an issue because somebody felt like they were threatened.
I had a question that I forgot to ask earlier, and I think our audience would be really interested in it. Are you glad how do you feel about having participated in this vaccine?
I do it seven times more. I would do it every day. I would do it anytime. The only concerns that I have in my life when it comes down to it are the people that have touched me enough that I remember their names, and my family, my personal family, like my actual family, not my found family that I bring in for Thanksgiving every year, but like my real family and my friends. Those are the people that I care about. And a lot of them aren't able to do things like this because of bullshit legislature. And so as a straight cis white male, I am a prime candidate. I'm healthy-ish enough to do things like this. And I am not bold or brave enough to do the armed services or be a police officer or be a fireman or be an EMT, but I can go get shot in the fucking arm with a needle and just sit here and see what happens. I can fucking do that. Mm-hmm. So I'll do it. I would do it any day of the fucking week. I'd do it 5 times. I'd do it tomorrow. I'll do it 3 times from now. I don't give a fuck.
No, seriously. I don't think people understand how much of a risk those of you who decided to do this were actually taking with your health. There was a lot of unknowns. There was a lot of misinformation. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting that earlier you brought up that Netflix documentary, because I was just having a conversation with someone I dearly love who was expressing that they were nervous about the vaccine, weren't sure if they would want to take it. And when I asked why, I've gotten to where I just start
why? Asking questions. Absolutely. If you ask why, you're going to find out everything you need to know about that conversation.
And so she mentioned that it was because she just didn't think there was enough information out there. And so I kept asking where she was looking to find the information. And it was the very honest human answer that she wasn't looking at all. She wanted somebody to step up who she respected and felt was credible, and for them to slap her across the face with the right amount of information, but wasn't actively seeking.
Sure.
And it's like, folks, this information about why this could be accomplished in such a short amount of time has been out there since the beginning, since you started this trial.
Yeah.
And well before it's been that. There. Yeah.
Lewis, I love to round out the conversation with my favorite question. Okay. And my favorite question to ask is, what is giving you hope right now?
Oh, God. Oh, man. What a scary question. What's giving me hope right now is that truth is prevailing. Whether it's overcoming misinformation and lies, and regardless of people ignoring scientific truth and fact, it doesn't matter, and it's not impeding truth. And truth is happening. Truth is being spread, and it's literally, I mean, fuck, it's like watching Neverending Story, and I feel like Sebastian just yelled the unnamed princess's name. Like it's clarity. So what's bringing me hope is the sharing of truth and people not backing down from it.
I couldn't have put it better myself. Hey, this is Caroline.
And Raymond.
We wanted to say thank you for listening to this episode and let you know that there will be more every week from now until we get fatigued by it.
We're building out this podcast as we go, so stay tuned for improvements on our website, our graphics, some video clips, and just everything else. The time was now to tell our stories, so we're learning as we go. We really do appreciate your interest and support.
We truly hope that the personal stories that come out in each episode can help build a better understanding of COVID-19, how it spreads, and how it affects us.
If you have a story or a question that you'd like us to address in an episode, please email us at fatiguedpodcast@gmail.com. That's FATIGUED podcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.